Let's go into the word. Thank you, Jesus, for your spirit that is within us. Thank you for the spirit of liberality you've bestowed upon us by that work of redemption on the cross. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us in Christ. We do decree and declare that as we go into the word this morning, our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold all the riches of glory that you've bestowed upon us as believers. There is precision and accuracy as the word of truth is taught this morning. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. And at the end of this meeting, as believers, we are edified and only Christ is glorified. Hallelujah. Yeah, so this month, this year, we've been dealing with something very interesting. What's the series we're dealing with? The new man. Look at neighbor and say, the new man. Is anybody that is not saved yet? Okay. Is anybody that is not saved yet? Me as well, last night. Is anybody that is not saved yet? Media room, is anybody that is not saved there? Okay, the liberal, let me that is there. Okay, he's saved. So look at neighbor and say, you are a new man. Look at neighbor and say, you are a new man. Yeah? You might be looking at a woman, you know, but you're saying you're a new man. You know, when we come to scriptures, Bible says that there's neither male, neither female, neither Jew, neither Greek, neither rich, neither poor. We are all one in Christ. You know, but because of the Jewish culture, we tend to adopt the use of man. Yeah, so every time you see that man is used in scriptures, you see something very important. You know, when you see Jesus fed 5,000 people, actually he fed 5,000 men with their families. Altogether. So Jesus did not just feed 5,000 people. He fed the number of... So the Jewish culture counts only men. I think for me, it's maybe 14, 15 or something thereabout. So they count only men. So when you see 5,000 Jesus fed, it is that he fed 5,000 plus their family. Yeah, but you know, but there is no Jew. There is no... That's what Christ work came to do. He came to make all of us that new man to be found in Christ. Hallelujah. You know, so last week we were dealing with something very interesting. And I said I was going to teach on faith without works is dead. If you remember that. I ended the service last week on that note, but before then, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Then on Wednesday, we're teaching what on Wednesday? Wrath of God, right? What do you call the wrath of God? You know, people say the wrath of God. God is angry. There's a wrath, you know. And we've already established that the wrath of God is independent of God. Is that true? Yeah, yeah, so God does not have any wrath. There's nothing called wrath of God in reference to God, but wrath of God is in reference to man. There has been a series of teachings going on that. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Paul, the spiritual father of Timothy, is saying, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, that word there, study, is a word that means to be what? To be eager, to be deliberate. To be eager, to be eagerly deliberate, to have an attitude of laboring. Yeah? Study, spaudazo, is the word that means to have an art of researchful reading. There was a new word I gave it last week Sunday. Remember that word? Investigate. Yeah? Investigate to show thyself approved unto God. Now remember, we don't read the Bible so that God will approve us. We read the Bible because he has approved us. God doesn't approve you because you read the Bible. God approves you because you believe in that work of redemption, that work that was wrought in Christ. So a good way to read 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 is study to show thyself as approved of God. Yeah, that is study to show that God has approved you, because Paul was admonishing Timothy in the midst of false teachers. So study so that the false teachers and people around you would know that God has approved you. That word there, a workman, it means a laborer, a toiler, someone who labors. Yeah, that needed not to be ashamed. Ashamed of what? Studying. Is that true? A workman that needed not to be ashamed. So imagine you are a workman. Let's say you are a farmer, and whatever you bring out from your farming is the produce that you eat. You shouldn't be ashamed of that profession. Is that true? Yeah. If it's farming that feeds you, you shouldn't be ashamed of that profession. So the same way we know that what feeds us as believers is the word of truth, a believer must study the scriptures, yeah, to show that God has approved him, and he should not be ashamed of it. We live in a generation right now where it's people that deliberately take out their time to study that are ignored or they are insulted. They are too extreme. Read it normal. Read it surface. Read it on the surface. You know, that's why we have a lot of cherry picking and picking left and right. Picking, you know, there are lots of prophecies that we think are about us, but they're not about us. But because they sound good, we are accepted and say amen. Is that true? Okay. If thou be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, right? Is that in the Bible? Is it in the Bible?
Yes,
is it in the Bible?
Yes,
yeah. So if a pastor comes out, for instance, and tells you that if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat. So what is willing and obedient coming to your mind about? When the pastor says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And he already told you that the good of the land is Asovila contract. So what is your willingness and obedience? Seed. Okay, seed. Okay. Seed sowing, coming to church. So if you are willing and obedient to the call of the pastor to sow a seed of $1,000, right? Yeah, yeah. Then you are willing and not obedient. Is that not true? Yeah, you shall eat the good of the land. Yeah, since we've been sowing, well, what good have we eaten? No, think of yourself now. I mean, you should be getting just without going to school. Yeah, but Paul is saying study to have an art of researchful reading that needed not to be ashamed as a workman. That word there, rightly dividing, is a word, a single word in the Greek manuscript, is a word that means carefully handling. Yeah, when you carefully handle, that means if there's a right way of dividing scriptures, there's also a what? A wrong way. Dividing the word of truth, that means there's a way the word of truth should be divided. There's a way the word of truth should be divided. There's a way the word of truth should be divided. There's a way the word of truth should be handled. Remember, when Paul was writing this letter, the book of Timothy was not in existence. Is that true? Look, see 2 Timothy 3. Look at 2 Timothy 3, 15, 16. 15, 16, 17, yeah? That's 15, right? The same Paul, that is just the next chapter. Remember, the Bible was written in what? Was the Bible written in chapters and verses? How was the Bible written? As a whole, yeah, Roman, Greek, a lot of, well, we do a lot of that when we're doing how to study the Bible, yeah. And that from a child thou hast known. Now, who is talking here? Paul. Who is he talking to? From a child thou hast known what the what? What? Now, you now say something. The Holy Scriptures, which are what? Able to make thee wise unto what? So, is there something called Holy Scriptures? What do Holy Scriptures mean at the time when Paul was writing this? Genesis to what? Malachi. So what you call the Old Testament books. So when he says the Old Testament books, so that means we can replace that part that writes Holy Scriptures and put in bracket Genesis to Malachi. Is that true? Is that true? We can put Genesis to Malachi there. It says, which are able to make, so there's an ability of Genesis to Malachi. Yeah? Is that true? There's an ability of Genesis to Malachi. What is the ability in that verse? Make you what? Wise unto what? So when you read Genesis to Malachi, what should you have at the back of your mind? Salvation. So when you read Genesis to Malachi and you are going home with wisdom, oh, God has blessed you with wisdom. What wisdom are you blessing God for? Wisdom in reference to what? Salvation. Remember, that word there, wisdom, means skillful. Why is there? It says, which are able to make you skillful concerning salvation. That means there's a skill of rightly dividing the word of truth a believer should have when reading scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a skill. Now, that means scriptures has a very important, that means as a believer, okay, see the next verse, verse 16. All scriptures are given by inspiration and they are profitable. What is the word they're profitable? Advantageous, right? That word they're profitable is the word advantageous for doctrine. What is doctrine? Teaching, right? So, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God. That means God inspired the scriptures to be what? Profitable for doctrine. What is profitable? Advantageous. What is doctrine? So all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is advantageous for what? Teaching. So where do we teach from? Where do we teach from? From where? So when you want to teach in the midst of brethren, where do you open? Scriptures. Scriptures. Scriptures, yeah? So what scriptures was Paul talking about from here? Genesis to what? Malachi. Because at the time when Paul was writing a letter to Timothy, the book of Timothy was not in existence. Is that true? So in my letter, I'm writing to Timothy, all scriptures are given by inspiration. That all scripture I'm talking about does not include this letter that is going to be handed to you. Is that true? Yeah, so it's Genesis to what? Malachi. Now, scriptures are advantageous for teaching, for reproof. What's that word there in reproof? Evidence, right? Assurance. Yeah? For what again? Correction. That means where do we correct the believers from? Where do we teach the believers from? What is the advantage of scriptures? Teaching in reference to what?
Salvation.
When you read scriptures, what kind of wisdom should you have? Are we together? You see, who brought salvation to mankind? Are you sure? Who brought salvation to mankind? Is it Christ? You're sure it's not a gloom allergy? Was it Christ? So that means Christ is almighty. You know, when they were dealing with something, On Wednesday, we emphasized that Jesus is God. Is that true? Yeah. We showed from scriptures that Jesus is God. We showed from scripture that there is no junior God. There's no, Jesus is not junior to God. Yeah? Jesus is not junior to God. Don't think of cadets in police department. Jesus is not, God is not sitting on one throne and Jesus is by the right. The Holy Spirit is dove. Stop playing. Is that yellow book that is spoiling us? That yellow, you know that yellow book? Not yellow book, that children book. Is that book that is spoiling us? Okay. Remember when John the Baptist said he saw the Spirit of God descend upon like a dove? Do you think John saw dove? When you say like a, as a, what is that? See me illy. So why is it that some people, dove will fly into their auditorium, they say that's the Holy Ghost? Yeah, but he saw like a dove. Now, see you. So when you say the Spirit, now, I'm going to test you on something I've been teaching for months. When you say Spirit upon, what does that mean? When we're teaching from the book of Acts and you see Spirit upon, what does that mean? Utterance. Yeah? Is that true? So when you say the Spirit of God is upon me, what is that? Is it that the Spirit from within comes upon you? So it is that people see a manifestation. Yeah, I'm taking you a step ahead in a different teaching, but we're coming back to this teaching. Yeah? So when John saw the Spirit upon Jesus, what was happening? Utterance. So when he was saying, "This is my beloved son," who was talking? No. When John looked at him and said, "I saw the Spirit of God descend upon him like a dove, and I heard a voice from heaven." Yeah? Where is heaven? Where was heaven? In Christ, right? So where was he hearing the voice from? So who was talking? That the Spirit. Who was talking? Christ was talking. So when you see John saying that the Spirit of God was upon Christ and he said, "This is my beloved son from heaven," what was he summarizing? Jesus, remember, if you look at Luke 4, he says that Jesus was praying. It is from the praying of Jesus that Jesus gave an utterance that John wrote and explained it as like a dove because he was peaceful. Okay, so we are back to 2 Timothy 3. All scriptures are given by inspiration. You know, I always like you to think. Yeah? Don't think of dove. Don't think of dove. How can God be like dove? That yellow book has caused harm. That book they call yellow book. You see John inside the water, you see one bed, you just bed. God decided to be inside bed. Scriptures are given by inspiration. That means God inspired that scripture should be written. Why? So that they can be advantageous for teaching. In that teaching, you find assurance. It is in teaching that you know you are saved and saved forever. It is in proper teaching that you know that the wisdom of God is salvation. It is in proper scripture teaching that you know that you are a new man in Christ forever. A new man remains a new man forever. A new man can never be an old man. Because you are a new man, there's a kind of life you must live. Not so that you become a new man, but because you are a new man. Yeah, so we see advance. So look at Luke 24. Luke 24 verse 24. "And certain of them were with us and went to the sepulchre and found it even as the woman had said, but him they saw not." Now, this was a conversation about people talking about how Jesus' tomb was empty. Is that true? If you read from the previous verses, they were like, that tomb is empty. Some women went there, they said the place is empty. What tomb were they talking about? The tomb of Christ, right? Look at what Jesus now said to them in verse 25. "Then he said unto them," who is the he that said unto them? Christ said unto them, who are the them who was sending it to? The people that went to the sepulchre and saw that the place was empty. What were Christ's first statements? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. In case you think I asked them to write it in the projector, check your Bible. In case you think Brother Stephen typed "oh fools" there, yeah? If you check your Bible, where you see "oh what? Fools." So did Jesus call people fools? Why did he call them fools? Look at what it says. "Slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken." Why did he call them fools? Because they did not believe all the prophet has spoken. Now take note of this. Where do you get the writings of the prophets that spoke? Scriptures, right? That means the writings of the prophet is found where? Genesis to what? Malachi. Yeah? Where do you have Isaiah? It's not Old Testament. Ezekiel. Yeah? Old Testament, right? Joel. Yeah? So he now says that you are a fool. You all are fools. Why are you fools, rather? Why are you fools? Because you did not believe what the prophets wrote. What did the prophet write? Look at it in the next verse. Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? That means the prophet from Genesis to Malachi were writing about one thing. Is that true? What is the one thing they were writing about? Ought not Christ to have suffered? That means all they were writing about was there will be a Christ that will suffer certain things. Now he is suffering it, but they knew the scripture, but they did not believe what the prophet had written. Are we together? What did the prophet write? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? What were they to do with that information? Believe. The fact that they did not believe, what did Jesus call them? Are we together? Are we together? What did Jesus now do? Look at verse 27. Beginning at where? Moses. Now, remember John chapter 6 verse 40 something. He says that if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Why? Because Moses wrote about me. Yeah? So, beginning at Moses, what did Jesus do? Beginning at, so, when you think of Moses, what comes to your mind? The writings of Moses, Genesis. So, beginning at the beginning of Moses' writing, and all the prophets, that's including Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Joel, David, Amos, Habakkuk, Obadiah. So, now, what did he do with those scriptures? He what? Expounded. What does it mean to expound? To explain further. Is that true? To expatiate, to give definite definition. Is that true? Yeah? Yeah? If I want to expound on your beauty now, for instance, hallelujah. Yeah? So, expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning what? Himself. That means there was something he was doing. He was teaching about himself. Where was he teaching about himself from? Genesis to Malachi. That means Jesus did not die and come again. And say, this is where the nail enter. See, touch it. Put your hand. Touch it. Is that what he did? How many days did Jesus teach for? How do we know? Acts 1-2. How do we know? After Jesus resurrected, what did he do? Until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive. That means he showed he was alive. How did he show he was alive? By after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So, how many days did Jesus teach for? What was he teaching about for 40 days? Look at it, look at it. What was he teaching about for 40 days? The kingdom of God. What was Jesus teaching about for 40 days? Pertaining the kingdom of. So, what was Jesus teaching about for 40 days? Kingdom of God, right? So, you see, he did not teach about kingdom takeover. Yeah? He didn't teach about political takeover. He didn't think about prophesying who is the next president of Nigeria. Yeah, he was thinking concerning. That's what, now, if you look further in verse 3, 4, 5, 6, you will see that immediately he finished his seminar, one of the disciples asked him a question. When will you return the kingdom back to Israel? For them to have asked that question, it means he didn't handle that question in 40 days. Are we together? That means he didn't handle that question in 40 days. So, can you see, a lot of us are smarter than Jesus. Jesus taught for 40-day seminar. He didn't talk about politics. We're just starting church. And all we're teaching about is politics. Can you see we're wiser than Jesus? Is that not true? We're wiser than Jesus now. Yeah, Jesus did not talk about kingdom takeover. Did he? Did he? But we're teaching about kingdom takeover. You see, some teachings that if Jesus hears, he'll be asking himself, is this me? You know now? You know those kind of things now? There's a lion in you. You know now? You know there's a lion in you. There's a tiger in you. The you that is in you is bigger than the you that you think you are. All about you. You see, a proper teaching of the gospel points us to concerning himself, which is Christ. A proper teaching of the gospel doesn't show you about you, but shows you about that Christ, because you are found in that Christ. You cannot know about yourself until you look at Christ. Amen? Amen. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Where did Jesus teach from? What was he teaching about? Things pertaining what? The kingdom. So Jesus rose on there from the dead, and what did he do? He picked scriptures to explain what just happened. He didn't say, you all did not see me. It's me they were flogging. Did he say that? Did he say that? What did he do? He picked. That means he went to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning there was the word, and he explained himself from Genesis 1:1. Is that true? I mean, he said beginning at where? Moses. That means when Moses said, there should be light, let there be light, and there was light. What did Jesus do to that verse? He went there and explained himself from that verse. When Moses said, God said, let us make man in our own image. Yeah? What did he do? He showed them from scriptures that what? He is the image God was speaking about, not you and I. Is that true? Yeah, is that true? We'll see that very soon, yeah? But now, one point, go to Numbers 9:11. Let me show you something in Numbers 9:11. I want all of us to read this together. Numbers chapter 9, verse 11. Are we all there? Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go! One, two, three, go. Let's do it together. 1, 2, 3, go. We're not reading as one. 1, 2, 3, go. What do you take from there? What is the 14th day of the second month? Look at this. This is how she laughs. What is the 14th day of the second month? What are you supposed to eat? look at that. Why are you laughing? What are you supposed to eat on the 14th day of the second month? Leaf, right? Leaf. I mean, you're supposed to go to the farm and pluck leaf and eat. Or living bread. Can you see? I love KJV. Bitter herbs. Pizza is not bitter. When you're in Abuja on 14th of February, what did you eat, ma? No, don't say no, ma. You took rice, fried or jollof or coconut? No. We're trying to make a point. Did you eat chicken or beef? Chicken or beef? Oh, fish. Beautiful. What did you eat on Valentine? You know, don't lie. I saw your video. You ate chicken, right? Eh? What kind of rice did you eat? Fried rice, right? Did you obey scriptures? Did you obey scriptures? So what did you do? You disobeyed. But why don't we see this part of the Bible? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's where you see them. You see people. See. Let me say something. The scriptures, write this down in your notes. The scriptures, properly explained, grammatically, historically, contextually, and in its original format, has more authority than any vision, utterance, personal experiences, personal revelations, dreams or miracles. I'll say it again. The scriptures, properly explained or well interpreted in its grammatical, historical, contextual, and its original format, has more authority over any vision, what again? Utterance, yeah, personal revelation, personal experiences, dreams or miracles. I said that to explain something. You see, we live in a generation right now where people decide to cherry pick. Yeah, that's the point. Go to Deuteronomy 28 verse 20. Deuteronomy 28, 20. 28, 20. 28, 20. Are we there? Imagine I come to church one morning, I just say, I'm reading the book of Deuteronomy 28, verse 20. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing. What will you say? Hold on. Is it in the Bible? Is it in the Bible? Okay. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing. See how church quiet. Vexation. Rebuke. I reject it over my dead body. Mm-hmm. You soon leave. In all that thou settest thy hand unto do, until thou be destroyed. Why is church more quiet? And until thou perish quickly. Eh? Because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Now, go to verse 19. Cursed shall thou be when you come in. No amen. No amen. And cursed shall thou be where you go out. So where will you now be, Abby? You don't go in, you don't come out. Where will you now be? Beautiful. Why don't you say amen? You see, you got what I wanted to hear. You see what she said? Because it's not for me. You see? So she chose to pick one that is not for. So in her head, now what she's saying is that let's go and read in context. So let's see who they were talking to. Is that not true? Is that not true? Yeah. Let's see who was talking to her. Is it not true? Yeah. When it's time for first fruit and tithe, do we see who they were talking to?
No.
Why did you say amen? But now I can go to I can go to Deuteronomy 26 verse 20. Blessed shall you be when you go out, amen. Were they talking to you? Thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit on the earth, which shall bring to thy land that the Lord may give it thee, and shall put in a basket and shall go into the place of the Lord, shall choose a place to name thee. Is this a scripture for first fruits? Yeah? 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 It's an easy scripture. You say bring your first fruit to the house. Your general salary, bring it and drop it at the altar, right? Yeah? Your first fruit belongs to the Lord. Yeah? And you say amen and receive prophecy that follow. Why didn't you say amen to cause shall that be? Look at the point. We live in a generation right now where people cherry pick to suit their feelings or out of their covetousness want to earn from things. So when you open, imagine you are leading prayer and the person that came to lead prayer this morning just opened Jeremiah 23 verse 20. Cause shall that be when you be able to say, ah. People that are here for the first time, you say, where am I? Some people even stone him. But was he reading in the Bible? Was he reading from the Bible? But why didn't you say amen to that? Because you want to know who they were speaking to. Have you not thought about it? Why don't you want to know who they were speaking to when they say, blessed shall you be? Why don't you know who? Why don't you want to know who? So how do you know who they were speaking to from Deuteronomy 28 verse 20? You go up, up, up to keep reading. Is that not true? So your Christian mind want to find the place where it says it's for the evil ones. Is that true? Is that true? What did you just simply do? You simply cherry picked and chose some and picked some. Anybody that ate anything that was not bitter herbs and unleavened bread on 14th of February, you disobey scriptures. But nobody tells you that. But they tell you that if you walk and you don't bring your tithe, you are disobeying God. Is it in the same Bible? Is it in the same Bible? If they tell you to walk in January and bring all your salary, if you don't do what they say, you are disobeying who? Is it in the same Bible? Do they tell you to eat bitter leaf on 14th of February? What did they simply do? They picked the ones that were that was going to suit them and to put you under undue pressure. You see, the Bible should be read contextually as a book pointing to salvation. Are we together? When you take a text out of context, forgetting the pretext and post-text, you are speaking what? A fallacy. When you take a text out of context, forgetting the pretext, that's what was said before, and the post-text, what was said after, you are what? Speaking fallacy. Hallelujah. So, what are we to do to scriptures? 2 Timothy 2:15. Labor to show that God has approved you. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing. Yeah? Rightly dividing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, on Wednesday, we try to establish that every mystery that is found in God has been debunked in who? In Christ. Every mystery. Every mysterious. There is nothing mysterious about God. Nothing. There is nothing mysterious about God. He's a mysterious God. Remember, we've established over time that God doesn't do evil and good. Is that true? Yeah? God only does good. Yeah? Do we have scriptures that say God kills? Are they in the Bible? Yeah? But did he kill? How do we know? Labor to show thyself approved of God. The responsibility you have as a believer is to go into scriptures and research what was said. Remember, we used an example on Exodus chapter 12 on Sunday, on Wednesday. Exodus 12 verse 11. When we're saying 11, it was sounding like the Lord will smite. Remember that teacher, that Bible? Yeah? The Lord will smite you. Lord will smite you. Verse 13, Lord will smite you. We got to verse 15, Lord will smite you. When we got to verse 23, what did he say? Being destroyed and smited, or to be smited by what? The destroyer. We are to read scriptures in context to see what is being said about every text. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Christianity is not for lazy people. To labor is not... You can't labor and be lazy. Is that not true? You can't have a farm and you are toiling the farm and you are lazy. Is that not true? So Christianity is for hardworking people. Let me add this. To be saved is by believing in the gospel and that alone. For a man to be saved and have eternal life is just to believe. Once you believe, you see, what you call last day on your mind, on that last day, you'll be shocked at the people that are ready, that will be with you. You know, we've decorated heaven in our heads. You know, you think heaven is one estate with gold. The more you win more soul, God will ask Integrity to put more plaster. But the plaster is in gold form. Then you now disobey God. Say, and that name came to my mind again, Injerazak. You know, it has to be Injerazak. God, Injerazak always does good. Injerazak, remove his burglary. He's doing, remove his burglary. I think God has book of life. Book of life, the book of life is the name in the book of life. And you think about it. So those people that change their name, which name would they write? Oh, when you change, I like us. I started being technological. You know what she said? She said, when your name change, your name to change in the book of life. Auto-correct. But last day, God will now say, come. I don't know why. Nobody will answer. He now change it to Adenike. It's me. You change your name. You see? We are too dramatic. The name your father gave you after 7 days of giving birth to you is the name God will be hearing to write in a book. So those Chinese people, anyway, God knows your language, but that's what you see. So those Chinese people, that their language is stroke, that their name is stroke, you on her, you will see stroke. How will it be in the same book? You see, we grew up learning a lot of false things, which takes a while to change in our minds. We're going to do how to study the Bible very soon. You know, one thing, it is required that you actually understand that Bible should be read as a whole before you start doing devotion. Let me say that again. If you can use this year, forget every devotional manual you're using. Just read the Bible without chapters and verses. Then next year, start your devotional. You know, we live in a generation right now where if you offend your Christian prayer, you just say, go and read Psalm 119. Just go and sit down there, Psalm 119. Just read. When you say you are finished, you say, go and read it again. Hallelujah. Now, the scriptures have the final authority over us that we must study to show what scripture says about certain things. The only reason why some people go to heaven and they have uncompleted buildings is because they are used to uncompleted building in Nigeria. Is this where you are? Is it completed? is it completed? So every Sunday you see an uncompleted building. How would you see a uncompleted building in your dream? If I ask some people now, do you have water in your house? You know, if you are not well taught in scriptures, if you go to heaven, you will realize that there's no water in people's houses. And you will see that God has to instruct an angel to connect it to their pipe. Hallelujah. So, what is Book of Life? Book of Life is a figurative expression for the names of the believers that have been saved. There is no book called Book of Life. Is that true? We did that in Christ 201, right? Yeah? So, or trumpets. Trumpets. We like story, you know. You know, that blue book has put us in trouble. You know, if I ask you to explain Genesis 1, 2, 3 now, what you'll be thinking about now is snake. Snake, ba? Snake and Adam ate an apple. Then Eve came to rub her body on Adam. Adam was confused. He now said, take my darling. Adam now picked the apple. Isn't it sweet, though? Isn't that what God said we should not eat? Abi? Then you now see God. The Bible tells you that a voice was walking in the garden. You did not think. That voice cannot be walking. Is that not what the Bible says? There was a voice walking in the garden. How did God's voice walk? Nigerian film now watching it echo. When you finish fasting like this, you just go and say, my son. Don't eat. Add more hours. You see, Nollywood has spoiled everything, made it worse for Bible interpretation. Are we together? That's made it worse. So how do you understand the reality of who you are in Christ? It's by laboring in scriptures. We don't just cherry pick and just mix it together, DJ copy, swallow. That's why a lot of us eat every week in and out. Are we together? We pick the ones that can sit us. I'm sure some people now, their confession every morning is, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Right? Go and slap a soldier. Right? Have you witnessed it before? Not that your face shifted a little. Look at Philippians. Look at Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You're going to write exam. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Can you see? Look at who. We did not pick Numbers 9:11 to eat unleavened bread and bitter leaf on Valentine's Day. Some of us almost entered depression because there was no gift. But we did not, you see, some people even became popular by singing songs to help you console your loneliness. About the mountain. Mm-hmm. Yeah? To console your loneliness. Kabusa brothers did their own. Yeah? But we did not go to Numbers 9:11 to say that you should eat unleavened bread and bitter herbs. But we come to Philippians 4:19 and say, I can do all things. Through Christ that gives me strength. As I step out today, you did not read the part that says, as you step out, you are cursed. As you come back inside, you are cursed. But it's as you step out, I can do all things. So, why did you not say amen to the prayer in Numbers 9:11? Pastor, let's go to context. Context, sir. Context. Yeah? But you don't want to go to context because this one seems positive. Is that true? Yeah? Okay. So let's read in context. Read from verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, daring to be what? Content. That means Paul is saying that I'm not speaking about wanting, but in every state that I am in, I have learned to be content. Look at verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. What does that mean? I know how to live in poverty and I know how to live when there's surplus. Is that not true? What is abased and abound? Abased means little. Abound means surplus, more. Yeah? So I know both how to live in poverty and how to live in plentiful. Look at it. It says, everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and be hungry. You see? Abased will go with what? No. Abased will go with what? Abound will go with what? So, both to abound and to suffer. Suffer will go with what? Abased and what? Yeah? Suffer will go with abased and hungry. What will food go with? Abound and abound. So, what was this thing about? I have learned how to live in small and live in plenty. The next statement now says what? Verse 13. I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. What are the things he could do? To live in small and to live in plenty. Paul knew too well that he could not do all things. If not, every time he wanted to catch him, he would have disappeared. What did you do? We simply read in context. The same way you expected us to read in context, Numbers 9:11, that Valentine's Day is not for 2020. But the same people who pick the Bible, I'm obedient to the word of truth. Word of truth I final authority over my life. But they just disobeyed February 14th. So, what is the I can do all things Paul could do? Was he saying you can go to the last building and jump and fly and touch the floor? No. You know, I had a conversation with someone recently, a few months ago. You know, he was teaching in a class or something like that. And unfortunately, but one day, we're having a meeting and something, we're just together. He was teaching, I can do all things. Yeah, I can do all things. I said, man of God, can you just open this window and just jump out? He said, no. I mean all things. What is all things? See, if I say bring all the things from this place away, must anything remain there? What is all? You know, I will even have soft hearts for some people. I can do some things through Christ that strengthens me. It's still better. All things means all things. You know, when you see all in scriptures, always look around it. There's something he was talking about. A better way to write Philippians 4:13 will be, I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. What are these things? Abound, abase, full, hungry. Hallelujah. If you can do all things, you don't need to use BA to fly to London. Don't go to the airport and just on the runway, just start running. on the wrong, just check that all the planes and helicopter have gone. Just put me on the wrong way. You start running. You just stretch your hand forward and you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah? So, we are to read scriptures contextually. You know, this meeting is just to show us the basic of the Bible. You know, scriptures are to point to something. Point to something. Look at John 20 verse 31. John 20 verse 31. Verse 30. Let's say 30. John chapter 20 verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of disciples which are not written in this book. What does that mean? What does that mean? Let's read it again. 1, 2, 3, go. That means there were so many other signs and wonders that Jesus did in his disciples, but they were not recorded in the book of John. Is that true? Is that true? Now, what is a sign? When you say sign and wonder, signs and wonders, right? Yeah? Signs and wonder. What is a sign? What is a sign? Something that points to something. Yeah? So, when you were coming this morning, you saw the church signboard. Yeah? Did you start having fellowship there? Why? Because it was pointing you to this place. Yeah? So, when you say somebody is healed, what is that? It's a demonstration of signs and wonders. That means that sign of healing is to point to something. Is that true? Is that true? So what will it point to? Look at the next verse. Look at verse 31. But these are written that you may believe. So what were those signs to point to? You should believe. What are you to believe? Is it believe that the signs and wonders happened? Look at it. Believe that Jesus is what? Is what? The Son of God, and believing him might have life through his name. So what are signs? Every sign that Jesus did was pointing to a sign or to pointing to a reality. What's the reality? Believe in Christ. Look at John 3:14. Look at John 3:14. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Did Moses lift up a sign, a what? Did he lift up a serpent in the wilderness? Yes. Did Moses lift up a serpent in the wilderness? Yes. Why did he lift up a serpent? So that those that are bit by real life serpents can look on that bruising serpent and be healed. Yeah? Is that a sign? I wonder. Is that a miracle? Yeah? What is that miracle pointing to? So must the Son of Man be lifted. So when Moses lifted up that stick, what was he pointing to? Christ will be on a stick lifted up. That's why he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men's sins unto myself. So when you're singing, leave Jesus high, leave Jesus high, be careful what you're adding to that song. Because lifting Jesus high, in the context of John chapter 3, is about nailing me on the cross again. In as much as what you are singing is, let's exalt his name. Is that not true? Yeah? You are saying, so be careful what you say afterwards. So, Moses, was there a man called Moses? Did Moses have people he was dealing with? Did Moses have people that snake were biting? Did Moses have people that snakes were biting? Did snakes bite people? When snakes bit people, did they look at a bruising serpent? Were they healed? Yeah? That healing, what was it to point to? Pointing to a work of Christ. Look at verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him. Now remember, so a man that looks and obeys the serpent on the stick, what happens to him? He's saved from the poison of the serpent that beat him. Is that true? Is that true? Now, a man that now believes in Christ on that stick, what does that happen? What happens to the person? He should not perish but have what? Look at verse 16. John 3:16. Everybody knows. For God in such a manner loved the world, in that he gave. I just did the corrections of that verse. Yeah. So when he say for God so, though, it's not for God so. You are not talking about quantity of love. Yeah. God's demonstration of his love can only be seen in all times and seasons in that work of Christ. How do you know God loves you? He gave his what? Yeah. So that means we don't say God loves us because we have one fine boy boyfriend we just met or fine girl girlfriend we just met. Is that true? You know people do that nowadays now. Twitter. You are a proof, or you are the proof I know God is with me. Ah. They've not broken your heart. they've not squeezed it. Yeah. Coming in contact with you reaffirmed God's love for me. Ah, people can change. Oh, so what happens when you break up? No, have you not noticed the way they take down the picture after they break up is it's worse. No, it has to be worse. Rapture, it does like rapture. You just be looking at it. You just say, ah, there was a picture before this picture. Ah, where is this picture? Ah, the same picture, he said, that is the proof of God's love for you. Moment you just fight one fight like this now. No, they usually start from the comment. You know, the post you write to the comment can be edited on Instagram. Before a movie, you said, I'm loving, just put hashtag people together. When the thing now becomes severe, everything out. You just like, ah, this girl had 53 pictures before, now it's 22. But the same person said that. So how do you know God's love for you? The only way God's love can be known to a man is by that work of Christ. Let me say this. A man that has not believed the gospel has not experienced God's love. Amen? A man. That's why we say something. Your house, your CGPA, your mansion cannot be a proof that God loves you. Because you really simply read your books or you walked and they gave you a house. Do miracles happen? Yes. But that is not how God wants to show his love to you. Why? Because an unbeliever has what you have. Even more than us. Hey. It's hard to say. But a lot of unbelievers. You know, if in this Nigerian economy, it looks like before you must actually get money, you must be like an unbeliever. So, Mary Shipley said yes. Don't say it's true. Not say it. Do you understand? A man can be going to a place and be hitting his head on the floor, hitting his head on the floor, and when he's sending millions and billions of God every Monday. In fact, some I don't even believe that there is God at all. That the ones controlling the world economy. Yeah? So, you don't know God loves you because you had a miracle alert or you had a job. How do you know God loves you? For God in such a manner. That word there, so, is the Greek word. You can replace it with in such a manner. For God in such a manner loved the world in that he gave. So how do we know he loved the world? He gave his son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have a lasting life. That's how you know God's love. Hallelujah. You know God's love by the fact that you look at the work he did. God came as a man to die for the people that were killing him. Every single man that flogged Jesus, if after Jesus rose again and the man believed in Christ, the man is saved just like you and I. Hallelujah. So, we are to read scriptures to know who were scriptures pointing to. Is it every prophecy that is for us? Not 2 weeks ago, we're dealing with the stone that the builder rejected has become the... Pardon. And you think it's about you? Look at John 6:30. Your father stole the head bread from the wilderness. John 6:30. Look at it. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, was it in the Bible that their fathers, remember it's not your father? Yeah, think about your own father and your fathers. They are in the okay, beautiful. So our fathers did eat manna. Did their fathers eat manna? Did the Bible say that the manna was from heaven? Are we together? Remember that story? God fed them with manna. Do you remember that story? Yeah? Was it in the Bible? In the wilderness? Did he say that God fed them? Who is God? Jesus, right? So who do we believe? Jesus or Moses? Yeah, okay, let's see. Look at verse 32. Jesus said unto them, what was Jesus doing? He was correcting their notion. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Who is talking? Did Moses say he gave them bread from heaven? Did he say that? He said it. Okay, let me ask you this way. Did they eat supernatural bread? Did they eat bread that was supernatural? Was that bread, did they say it's from heaven? Who is the person in heaven? Jesus, right? Christ. Yeah, so who do you want to believe? Someone that has never been to heaven or someone that is in heaven or someone that is in heaven? Who do you want to believe? Someone that is in heaven or someone that has never been to heaven or someone that is in heaven? He that is heaven. So he that is heaven is talking. Your father stole the head bread. But verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. That means the bread they ate was not from heaven. But was it miraculous? Yes. Was it from heaven? No. Why was it not from heaven? Jesus is saying, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Who is talking? Who said they had bread from heaven? Moses. Who are we believing? Now, look at it. Remember, Christ said in John 6, he said that Christ wrote about, Jesus, Moses wrote about me. So when Moses was writing about bread from heaven, who was he talking about? But did they see physical bread? Yes. Did they eat physical bread? Were they hungry? Yeah. Look at the last verse 33. For the bread of God is he. Look at it. Now means the bread of God is the person. See it, see it. 33. For the bread of God is what? Is what? Is he which cometh down from? That means the bread of God is a he. Is that correct English? Is that correct English? So the bread of God is a he, is an he. Is a slash an e. So we can say it better just to sound too. The word of God is a person, or the bread of God is a person. Look at it now. He now says that, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. People that had bread in the wilderness, did they eat bread? Did they die? That means they didn't have eternal life. Ah, is Moses still alive? Okay. Look at verse 36, 34. They said unto them, Lord, evermore, evermore, give us this bread. So they were talking to the bread to give them bread. But they didn't know that bread, they were going to partake of that bread by his dying. Look at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am what? Let's read verse 35 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the bread of he that cometh to me shall never, and he that believeth on me shall never. Look at it. And the bread of life, he that, you see, when we're going to be teaching that communion teaching here, we will use John's explanation to see that thing that Jesus did. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. You know that thing now? Then he said, broke it. I said, was he saying you should be breaking bread? Was he saying you should be drinking ever wine or alcoholic wine or drinking Zobo? You know, we'll look at it. We'll look at it through John's lens. How did John explain it? Remember, John is the only one that in his Gospels, the first thing he started writing was explaining Genesis. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was the God. He explained incarnation and explained how God became a man. John did not write Abraham begat Zebinever. Zebinever became Isaiah. Isaiah, do you write that? John's writing is very... So, John picked major things. So, John explained bread and wine. As what? Eating of the blood. Right? And eating of the bread and drinking of the blood. Was he saying he should go and take syringe from Jesus' body? He couldn't have said that. Why? Because if Jesus puts blood inside cup and gives you to drink, you will not drink, even if it's the Savior. You will not. Imagine Jesus just comes and just say, Sister Nengi, bring syringe. Just took syringe, draw, now put inside cup. You drink, say, pass. And now start singing, I surrender. This one's here, singing, fill my cup, Lord. Will you drink it? That is your Lord and Savior. You will not drink it. That means he was speaking figuratively about something. So he says, I'm that bread of heaven. I'm that blood that they were using for figures of speech. Don't go and be breaking bread and be doing table and be saying something. There's nothing significant about it. There is nothing. Why? I am the bread. If you eat of me, you will never be hungry. Think about it. If you eat communion bread, won't you be hungry? But I thought you said that in Jesus' body. Eh? If I give you wine now here, and put it, you know the cup we always like using. So it will go around small, small. Chum, chum. If the cup will be small, they will still not allow it to reach half. If you drink that one, so if the pastor comes and says, we convert this to the bloody, this is the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Yeah? If you drink it, will you not still go home and eat your eba? But what did he say about his bread and his blood? If you eat it, you will never be hungry. You will never be hungry, you will never thirst again. That should tell you, it's not about biscuit you are breaking. The bread they were even breaking is not, Brother, please go to Dunamis. Go and buy. You see, Brother, we'll climb Okada and go and buy bread. You will run, come in here, come in here. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just opening your mind to the teachings you're going to have very soon. He said, if you eat of that bread, the moment you say you convert the wafers, he didn't say if you eat of the wafers. Think about it now. What Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. Is it that he cut his flesh and now say, take? So all of them were eating his flesh. Now say, this is my blood. Now put syringe, pass. Peter, don't take more. Say Peter will drink his blood. That's why I will say something. We are not redeemed by corruptible things. It wasn't the blood of Jesus that redeemed you, in the sense that the blood that flowed through his vein. But the blood of Jesus was security for the spirit that was given upon resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not Goya. Stop wasting your money to buy Goya. It's not Goya. Well, you can convert Goya to do something. But their power is not in the Goya. The power is in the person that... Okay, think about it. If Goya is powerful, why don't you just go and buy Goya and just start drinking? You see, you don't drink Goya until a pastor has prayed on it. So where is your attention supposed to be? Is it on the Goya or on the pastor? That's not rhetorical. If you go and buy Goya, how come is when the pastor has prayed on you, you use Goya and scatter your whole wall in your house? Blood of Jesus, evils must not come near me. Evil must not come. You open your bonnet, you flash it, you open your back seat, open the boots. That bread from heaven, how do you eat of that bread? By believing in his work, you have eaten. Let's end in first Isaiah chapter 1. Okay, let's see verse 36. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. So what was Jesus teaching about? Believing. 37. And that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and shall come to me. Look at verse 51. I am the what? I am the what? I am the what? Let's say it together. I am the what? That came from where? If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Say, people don't eat communion. People that eat communion, do you know people that have eaten communion and they have died? Plenty, right? Yeah? That means people can eat communion and die. Is that true? That means the bread and the wine they put here, someone can eat it and die. Yeah? But he's saying that if you eat of his bread, you will never die. That should tell you that he wasn't talking about what? Communion. Or talking about your life on earth. But was talking about an eternal life you will receive. Remember, this is the book of John. You are expected to read the book of John as a book, not in chapters. That means you must have read John chapter 3, verse 14, 15, 16, when it says that and most lifted up the serpent, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, he that believes on him shall be saved and have eternal life. So what John was re-explaining was what? That thing you call eternal life is what you call bread, figurative for eternal life. So he says that, I am the bread that came from heaven, the living bread. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give him is my flesh. Did he give him their flesh? Eh? Jesus did, John caught Jesus' hand and they shot the finger. Was that what he did? Which I will give for the life of the world. So, when he was saying bread, he was talking about what? So that means a believer should eat bread. What bread should a believer eat? The living bread. How does a believer eat the living bread? By believing. That's why you're a believer. So, a man that has believed has eaten of that bread, figurative. Is that true? Look at Isaiah 1 verse 13. Look at Isaiah speaking as a prophet, which is God speaking. He says, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. What is incense? Burnt offering. Yeah? What do they usually burn to make it burnt offering? Animals, right? Yeah? So incense is like burnt animals. What is God saying? He says, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. That means when you burn animals, it's an abomination to God. That means it wasn't God that asked them to burn animals. Think about this. When the prophets were going in to go and burn animals, who sent them? Moses, John 1:13. For the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Christ. Was it God that gave them the law? No. We'll look at that. Maybe in subsequent weeks, we'll look at that. God did not give the law. God had one offering to offer mankind from the beginning of time, and that was Christ. Moses, because of the hardness of their hearts, they didn't want to believe that work of redemption ahead of time, gave them the law. To show them they could not keep the law. The law were about 600 and something, over 600 laws. They couldn't keep all. To show them that every man needs one savior. So God did not say, God be burning offering. So Moses as a prophet saw ahead of time and represented Christ as an animal. The same way Moses wrote about Abraham's story. He said God said Abraham to kill his son. God could not have told Abraham to kill his son. In fact, there is confusion in the story because Abraham had Ishmael before Isaac. Is that true? Is that true? Who was Abraham going to slaughter? Isaac. When the God now said, take your son, your only son, was that Abraham's only son? That means God was lying. Is that not true? But say, take your only son, the only son of yours. But Ishmael was the son of Abraham. God could not have told Abraham to go and kill his son. That is wickedness. That means God can ask my father to kill me to show his love to him. I don't want that kind of God. But if you read in context and read the entire scriptures, you will see that there was one offering. The prophecy, the instruction given to Moses was to believe in that only. So it was only God that had a begotten son. Abraham did not have only one begotten son because he had Ishmael before Isaac. So on what pedestal did he now pick Isaac over Ishmael? When Paul now explained Galatians, what did he say? One is talking about the law, one is talking about what? The grace. Yeah, but that's not the point here. So when they were burning offerings, who sent them? Nobody. Jesus said because of the hardness of their hearts, they didn't want to believe in that crucifixion work that Christ will do ahead of time. When Hebrews now shows us what the Hebrews says, he says that Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ far greater riches than the reproaches of Pharaoh's house. So Moses understood the gospel and believed the gospel. But because of the heart, you know, it's difficult to lead people. If you've been a class leader before, you know. Yeah, if you've been a group leader, let's not say class leader. If you've been a group leader, you know it's difficult to, even if you had four, to gather those four people together. You send message to them once and they will read, they will not reply you. They will still post. They will read the WhatsApp message, they will read it, they will reply, they will still post immediately, post five more videos after, and still, and they'll still read your, you know, it's not easy to lead people. So imagine the millions of people Moses was leading. You know what he said? People, your hands are too long ago. When you read the book of Acts and read Exodus properly, but because of the hardness of their hearts, you see, that's why it's difficult for people to believe in eternal salvation. How can you say? You teach eternal salvation that any man that is saved is saved forever. Nothing can undo it. They say, are you now saying international ministry? Are you now saying that if I steal, why do you want to steal? I understand that no matter what I do, what do you want to do no matter what you want to do? Yeah? Can you see? So even at Moses' time, they had hardness of heart. Even at our time too, we have hardness of heart. In fact, it was worse for them because Christ had not come to die. But now Christ's death is in our past. It is a record and in history that Christ came to die and he was killed by people and seen by people. They did not see Christ. Imagine the hardness of their heart. As a proper Bible interpretation will show you that you have to explain scriptures in the light of salvation. There's a wisdom of salvation. So, get your only son, go and kill him. No. In fact, it was even almost like saying Abraham's hardness of his heart. So, bring no more vain oblations, incense, and abomination to me. So, anywhere they burn animal in reference to represent Christ is what? An abomination to God. Is that true? Is that true? Were they burning animals? Were they burning animals? What was it to God? Abomi. Your new Moses and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Why is it iniquity? Because they were burning incense that they should have just believed that God would give himself. What they were to do is that Christ will give himself, or God will give himself. They were to believe that, and that's the end. Look at verse 14. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hated. They are trouble unto me. I'm ready to bear them. Verse 15. And when you spread forth your hands, don't lose track here. When you spread forth your hands, I will what? Hide my eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Why is their hands full of blood? Because the only blood that was to be shed was the blood of Christ. But they were shedding the blood of animals. And God said it was an abomination to him. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So, when God was saying, go and kill your only begotten son, when Moses wrote it as if God was saying it, what was Abraham to do? Believe in the work of Christ ahead of time. Because only God had that only begotten son that he could give. If Abraham really wanted to kill his son, he shouldn't wait to a time where, if you really want to kill yourself, you no time to waste. You will not have time to wait and say, stop, there's an animal coming from the bush. Even Moses believed that God is so good that he will not allow him to. How can God ask you to go and kill your son? I say it's out of love. But God is the one that gave that his only son out of love for mankind. That is the true love. Hallelujah. That's the true love. Look how he now says. Look at verse 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil. Now, he's saying, put away this evil you are doing. What is the evil they were doing? Incense is an abomination to me. Are we following today? Are we following today? The instruction God is now giving is wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doing before my eyes and cease to do evil. What were they doing? They were trying to bring that sacrifice that only Christ could give. The sacrifice that they were trying to give, they were trying to help God. Don't help God. That says your righteousness is a filthy rag before God. Only God is absolutely permitted and has the sole right to say, I will not, and he will not. Yeah? A poor understanding of scripture is what makes us get scared of God. God is watching. God is watching. But you now think that God's eye is on your roof. Are we together? Yeah? I mean, think about it. When they say pray, every satanic power, all of you now shout and say, I'm not hearing you. Increase your volume. All of you now shout. And I hold your hands. Why are you shouting? So that your voice will get to the heavens. What an insult. So you think you can shout and your voice will pass this roof. Talk more of going to the sky because you think God is there. How can God be there? How can he be there? But you've already sang, you do not wait for me. You've already sang, draw me close to you. All the drawing and the closing and everything he has done, you don't still believe he is close to you. You still have to shout for your voice to go above the roof. Yeah? So a poor understanding of God will make you think that God is far from you, but God is just inside you. God is in you forever. Lift your hand and say, God is in me.
God is in me.
Forever.
Forever.
Look at what he now says. He now says, I want you to change from your ways. How do you change from your ways? Look at verse 17. Learn to do well. How do you learn to do well? Seek judgment. How do you seek judgment? Believe, relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widow. Next verse. Come now and let... So, all this incense you are burning, let's put it aside. Come now, let us reason together. How do we reason together? If your sins be as what? Let's reason together. 1, 2, 3, go verse 18. What was the conversation talking about? Forgiveness of what? If your sins are as red, they will be as white as... Is that true? So stop those sacrifices we are making. Come now, let's reason together. I want to give an offering that in that offering, even if your sins are as red as scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow because of that offering. He now says in verse 19, if thou be willing and obedient, you shall what? How did Jesus say it? I am that living bread of heaven, that he whoever eats of me shall never be what? Hungry. Whoever drinks of me shall never what? Thirst. How did Prophet Isaiah say it? If you are willing and obedient. What did Jesus say is eating and drinking? Believing. What did Isaiah say is eating and drinking? Willing and obedient. If you are willing and obedient, that's summary for believe. You shall eat. How do you eat? By being willing and obedient. How are you willing and obedient? You are obeying, you are submitting yourself to believe that work of redemption. That forgiveness of sin that has been offered. Hallelujah. So, what is that good of the land that the believer has eaten? Forgiveness of sins. That is the food that a man that has eaten and he can never be hungry again. How do you eat of that good of the land? The good of that land is that land that God promised. You know, Hebrews will say that we have come unto Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. We are God's Mount Zion now. We are that God's land. We are that, you know, Abraham will say something. Abraham looked forward to that city whose builder is God. Whose builder and maker is God. Who is that city? I am that city. How did I become that city? Because I believed in the gospel. Hallelujah. Now, listen everyone. When you eat eba, eh? Can you vomit it? No, don't lie. If you eat eba egusi, can you vomit it? Yeah? Why can you vomit it? Because it was a physically eating thing. Yeah? When you eat of the good of the land, which is the living... Well, when you were saved, did you eat bread? So the day they came out and said, lift your hand and say, I make a U-turn. Eh? Your pastor said, take bread. This is bread. This is the living bread. This is living bread. Go and meet Usher Stanley. We give you Zobo and Ribena. Pick anyone you want. Is that what you did? Why? Because eating of the living bread is a spiritual reality. How do you eat? You believe. Can you vomit what you believe in your heart? You can't now. If you can eat eba and vomit it. Why can you vomit it? Because it's physical. If you want to vomit living bread, what will it look like? Eh? You have vomit living bread now. Eh? What will it look like? You cannot vomit living bread. A man that has been eating it, he says, look at Jesus' statement. He says he can never be hungry. You can never be hungry. See, a believer doesn't have an ability to unsave himself. Are we together? There is nothing a man can do to unsave himself. Why? Because all you did to get yourself saved was believe in that work of redemption. And because God has called you saved and holy, you are expected to live a particular kind of life. That's why in gospel I teach about believers' conduct. We don't say don't go here, don't do this because it's for sinners. No. You don't do certain things because you are called of God. You are approved of God. You are holy to God. God calls you holy. So, we live in a generation right now where people do not separate between their eternal salvation and what? Their spiritual growth. Your spiritual growth is about your daily activities that you grow and do things better. But your eternal salvation is a once-off. Once a man is saved, there is nothing he can do to undo it. Let's end in Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted. Who is that whom? Look at your Bible. When Ephesians, Paul is saying to in whom you also trusted. Who is that whom that you trusted? Christ. When you say in whom, in him, for whom, by him, by whom? We are thinking about Christ in the epistles. So in Christ, you trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Now, you trusted in Christ, ma? Is that true? What did you hear? The word of truth, right? So the word of truth is what brings Christ to you. So it's when you hear the word of truth and believe in that you have eternal bread. The gospel of your salvation. You know, also after that ye believed, you were what? So when you believed the word of truth that was preached to you, what happened to you? You were what?
Sealed.
You were what?
Sealed.
You were sealed with what?
Sealed.
What is a seal? A seal is a stamp or a mark that makes you know that a property belongs to a man forever. Hallelujah. A seal is that stamp that makes a man knows that a property belongs to a man forever. Is that true? So remember the example I always give. So if you go to Wuse Market now, for instance, and go and buy a bag of rice. Yeah, you buy a bag of rice and the bag of rice is too heavy for you. You now have to go and buy a mudu of beans there. Mama Bola is there in a shop. You now say, Mama Bola, please, I'm coming. Help me hold this my bag of rice. Let me quickly go and run and buy beans and come back. Mama Bola now says, oh, before you go, I may not be around when you come back. But my sales girls will be around. Just put a sellotape and masking tape on the body and write your name. Me, my name is Joshua. Write your name, Joshua, on the bag. Was that a good advice? Is that good advice? Why? So that when I go, even if she's not there, I can pick my bag of rice. Imagine she now has a wicked sales girl that as I just go and before I come back, she has removed my masking tape. Where will I start from? I have to go and show that my fingerprint is inside the rice, inside the mudu. You understand? I have to show that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But imagine before I left, the sales girl did not know. Yeah? And now open the bag of rice and now throw my ID card inside of it. And I'll seal it. And I still put my name on top. When I go to buy my mudu of beans and I come back to my Mama Bola shop, yeah? And I now say, oh, she now say, the sales girl now say, oh, but remember the sales girl has removed the sellotape that was outside. She now say, no, this is not your bag of rice. She's now fighting with me. What do I need to say? My ID card is inside. What did I put my ID card there for? To prove it is my property. Is that true? So is that a seal?
Yes.
Is that a seal?
Yes.
So can anybody fight that seal from me? Why? Because it is my property. Now, what did he say that the believer's seal is? So, when you were looking at that bag of rice, could you see that seal physically with your eyes? Can you see the Holy Spirit physically with your eyes? Is that true? So imagine you are the bag of rice. Let's say you are a bag of rice. Let's say. Imagine you are the bag of rice. And that thing you call second coming. It was like Jesus went to go and buy mudu of beans. I'm not saying Jesus is eating beans, so. I said, you want to go and buy mudu of beans? He now came back. And the devil is that sales girl in that shop. Devil now come and start saying, no, this is not your property. This is not your property. What does God need to say? Check him. My seal is in him. Is that true? My seal is in him. What will happen to the seal's girl should be hot embarrassed. So the Bible now says that in whom you trusted, you've been sealed with the Holy Ghost. He now says, until the redemption, look at verse 14. Until the redemption, he said, which is the earnest of your inheritance, until the what? Until the what? Redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. That bag of rice, was it your property? The bag of rice here before you left, was it your property? Was it your purchased possession?
Yes.
When you left and you came back, what did you come back to do? To redeem your property. What showed it was your property? The seed that was inside is seen in the fact that the Spirit of God is in the believer forever. If that bag of rice remains there for 20 years, what can remove that seal? Well, you know, the example is not as perfect as possible because some people can tear the leather and go and buy new leather and transfer and repack. Yeah? But think about it that way. If I say I'm safe forever, seal of the Holy Ghost is in me forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Pray in the Holy Ghost for the next few seconds.